This album's celebrating an anniversary.
What up, Sam?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. I was away at Waitangi last week.
Yeah.
But I'm back now.
It sounded like you had a good time.
Yeah, I did. For those who don't know, Sam also does The Wire on Mondays. And I was his Waitangi correspondent.
Yeah, you were. It was great, live cross.
I was being very frank. I was like, I don't really know everyone's names that are here, but I'm watching The Navy. And they're doing something. So
yeah,
it was a very whano-friendly event.
Yeah, it sounded really good.
It was really beautiful, actually.
Cool.
Lots of nice weather.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, today we're looking at Aretha Franklin, and we're looking at her album Lady Soul from 1968. This is her 14th studio album, and it's turning 50 years old. So just a bit of background about this particular album. So at this stage of Aretha's career, she'd spent the last 5 years kind of slogging away, not really getting anywhere. And she had her breakthrough year in 1967, the year before this album came out. And she had big success with her previous two records because of that. And that was really because she finally found a record label which was willing to support her as an artist and what she was doing. And that was Atlantic Records, which was kind of like the main label to be on if you were a soul and R&B artist in America during the late 60s, and she was now pretty much established as one of the best up-and-coming soul singers in the United States by this stage. So in order to continue the success she was having, the record label basically sent her back into the studio to record another album. She'd already done two records with Atlantic Records, both in 1967, so this was her third album with them in pretty much under a year. And of course, these are the days when artists spent more time in the studio probably than they do now, and that resulted in multiple album releases each year. You'd hear people releasing three albums in a year, which of course these days is pretty unheard of most of the time. It's usually about 3 or 4 years between album releases. So the sound of this album, it's pretty much just straight down the line soul and R&B. There is a mixture of ballads on here, more up-tempo R&B numbers, and she was backed by some studio session musicians provided by Atlantic Records, and the songs on this were a mixture of both covers and also a handful of originals as well. And during this time, soul and R&B singers, they used to fill their records up with covers of sort of pop and soul standards of the day, mainly because all the soul singers tended to be on the same labels, whether it was Motown, Stax, Atlantic Records. So they ended up covering each other's songs quite a bit, and you'll hear a couple of instances of this on this particular album, because also the songs that these soul artists sung, they were pretty much written by songwriting teams for the different labels and the stable of artists. So this is pretty much meant you could cover a song that might have been a hit for someone else on the same label as you, and you could get a hit out of it as well. It was pretty community, kind of communal oriented sort of thing going on. So should we play a song? All right, well, we're going to start with the opening track. And this is one of her best-known songs. Everyone knows the song. It's called Chain of Fools. And it's by a songwriter by the name of Don Covey. And he wrote the song for Otis Redding, actually. So that's a good example of what I was saying just before. And Atlantic's producer, Jerry Wexler, thought that Aretha Franklin would sing the song better, so he gave it to her to sing. And it resulted in a big hit for her. It became her number two in the US charts. And, yeah, sort of set the ball rolling. Chain, chain, chain. Thank you.
95 BFM, we are doing anniversary albums, and that was Aretha Franklin's Chain of Fools.
Oh, such a cool song, such a classic, perfect for your Monday morning and this gloomy Auckland day. So yeah, that was the opening track from Lady Soul, and the next track we're going to play is the second track from the record. It is called Money Won't Change You, and this is actually a James Brown song, which Aretha recorded for this album. And it actually features the Sweet Inspirations on backing vocals, and they were an R&B singing group that included Whitney Houston's mother, Sissy Houston, who was back in her day quite a famed singer as well. So yeah.
Kia ora koutou ma, no mai ki te irirangi pōhō, kuchi ne wataku ingoa. We're doing anniversary albums with Sam Smith.
Yeah, and we're doing Aretha Franklin's Lady Soul from 1968, and the track you just heard was Money Won't Change You by James Brown, but recorded by Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, Aretha Franklin pretty much did every person's song.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that heaps of Dusty Springfield songs were actually her songs.
Yeah.
Like Son of a Preacher Man.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah.
Aretha went and did her own version. That's
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, but I mean, like, her one is, like, the first one that I heard, yeah. So I thought that was the...
It's often the case, isn't it? Yeah. You hear someone do a song and you think, oh, they must have written that song. But then it's like, oh, no, actually, this person did.
I'm not going to compare Dusty and Aretha, trust me.
No. All right, well, the next track we're going to do is track number 4, and it's called Nikki Hokey. And it's by a guy called Jim Ford, and he wrote it in collaboration with Lolly and Pat Vegas. And again, this, much like the previous track you just heard, very up-tempo, very R&B. Yeah, just straight up R&B. Love it.
I'm digging on.
Yeah.
That's a good Aretha. Imitation there.
I have tried.
Because you probably would have sung some of these songs.
Oh, I'll never cover Aretha. I'm too intimidated by her. But I do play around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I would never seriously.
She's got one of those intimidating voices.
Well, she sings for God.
Yeah.
She sings for the church. This is a church voice.
Yeah.
Oof.
Wow. Yeah, so that was a pretty up-tempo track, but we're going to take things down a notch now. We're going to do one of the ballads from the album, and this is one of her biggest hits and most loved songs. It's written by Jerry Goffin and Carole King, of course, a great songwriting team, and this particular track went on to reach number 8 in the US charts, and it is You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Everybody appreciate your woman out there. Look at it. Oh.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired, and when I knew I had to face another day,
classic.
Thank you, Aretha.
Thank you, Aretha. Sing it, sing it.
Sing it, sing it, Aretha, loud. And sing it loud.
Sing it loud.
Yeah.
Gorgeous track, that one. We're gonna go up tempo again for the next track. We've had a little taste of a ballad, but we're gonna return to some kind of high energy stuff.
Get out your jazz hands.
This next track is called Sweet Sweet Baby Since You've Been Gone, and this is one of two original tracks Aretha wrote for this album, and it's an all out soul belter. Probably the quickest track on the record, and also the third top 10 hit for her from this record. The song reached number 5 in the US.
Oh, she just has all the hits.
Mm.
Baby, baby, sweet baby.
Thank you.
That was the gorgeous Aretha Franklin with Sweet Sweet Baby Since You've Been Gone. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
We're doing Aretha Franklin's album. Lady Soul from 1968. There's a gorgeous picture of her all spangly and all beehived. She's got like this huge beehive. It's just, she's incredible. But anyway, we're going to have more from anniversary albums with Sam Smith, more from Aretha Franklin.
The Queen.
The Queen of all Queens. And yeah, we'll be back soon.
Banished Music in association with 95BFM present DZ Death Rays, April 26th at Galatos. Australia's finest thrash party duo are hitting the road with their new album, Bloody Lovely, setting stages alight and celebrating a decade of debauchery. DZ Death Rays with special guests Wax Chattels, Thursday, April 26th at Galatos. Tickets from Under the Radar.
And I want Sam and Frodo to get married, and I want E.T. to stay here and become a famous ice dancer.
What are you doing?
Practicing wishes for the movie fairy.
The Vic Devonport Fairy and Movie Deal. Return ferry trip, movie ticket, only $17 an adult or $10 for a child. For what's on and more information, go to thevic.co.nz.
Want the truth, but can't handle it? Why don't you listen to the f***ing news? Want to post rants without all those annoying comments? Start a diary! Want biased, baseless, bourgeois babble? Read a blog! Want the news but not the weather?
The Wire. Saying it without spraying it. An institution in current affairs and analysis. Weekdays on 95BFM. Wiring together the crooked teeth of media with bracing news, reviews and interviews. And keeping you up to date on what's happening here in Huntley and in other places in the world as well. The Wire. Weekdays. Midday till 1pm, only on BFM.
No mai, huki mai, kia koutou ngā tangata e whakarongo ki te irirangi pōho. This is the conclusion of anniversary albums with Sam Smith.
Yes, indeed.
A very pleasurable one indeed.
Kia ora tātou.
Kia ora.
Yeah, so let's look at how this album was received and kind of just the wider legacy around it. It was a great success for Aretha. It topped the R&B charts in the States, and it also went to number 2 in the Billboard charts. So that was 3 albums in a row for her that went top 5 in the Billboard charts. So she was really on a bit of a roll by this stage.
Cool bananas.
And the album would eventually go on to be a gold record for her and would be her joint most successful album in her career. And this was pretty much the peak of her career, this sort of 68, 67, 68, 69 period. And although she would remain in the spotlight commercially until the mid-70s, nothing would really come close to the work she was putting out during this particular period. In terms of this album's wider legacy, it's considered one of the best soul records of all time and easily one of her best records. And a Rolling Stone magazine named it the 84th best album of all time. Pitchfork named it the 29th best album of the 1960s. So yeah, it was definitely a high water point for both Aretha as an artist, but also Atlantic Records as well, and the soul movement in the late 60s, helping establish her as one of the great voices of all time, basically.
I would also like to point out that it's probably one of the most favourite albums with the most collective, Natural Woman and stuff, very good shower song to sing in the shower.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, Natural Woman, like, you know, in the morning or whenever you shower.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
you don't sing Aretha Franklin in the shower?
I probably have at one stage. I must have done.
I do.
Yeah.
I sing in the shower. Shout out to all the shower singers out there.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Chain of Fools would be another good one to sing in the shower.
Chain, chain, chain. Yeah, like when you're scrubbing away.
Yeah, chain, chain, chain. So on that note, we're going to finish with the closing track on the record. And this one was actually written, incidentally, by Aretha's sister, Caroline Franklin.
Oh, just by accident, I'm just a genius, by the way. what is her sister?
I know.
This song's beautiful.
So it's a beautiful, haunting soul ballad where Aretha really shows off her vocal range quite stunningly on this track. But it also actually features some great operatic vocal freestyling from Sissy Houston as well, who was a great singer in her own right as well. And this track is called Ain't No Way. It's a beautiful track.
Oh, by the way, thank you very much for coming in, Sam. See you next week.
Always a pleasure. See you next week.
Yeah.
Ka kite anō.
Ka kite.
to love you. If you want, let me. It ain't no way for me to give.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.